Welcome back to the daily OU Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's call on Yom Chamishi, the 21st day of the month of Elul. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors, in particular the Schwartz family, for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU Tehillim email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. Your generosity and support are greatly appreciated and enables us to continue to provide these meaningful daily calls. Please note, the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's email is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. One additional note to share, please stay tuned after Achenu, before today's interview, for some very exciting information regarding an amazing program which the OU will be conducting this coming Sunday. You will not want to miss this announcement, so please stay tuned after Achenu. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to introduce Rabbi Daniel Karapkin, Mor d'Asra of Beth Avraham Yosef of Toronto, or as it's better known as the Bayit in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Karapkin slowly reciting our daily four chapters of Tehillim, Peret Chup, Chup Gimel, Kuf Chup Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 20, 23, 121, and 130. It will be followed by the Mishaberach Lecholim and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Karapkin to learn more about his wonderful community. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker, as well as the exciting announcement. Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Karapkin.
Thank you, Rabbi Herman. Welcome, everyone. Let me start by wishing you all a Ksiva v'chasima tova. May you all be written and sealed in the Book of Life. This Shabbos is not only the last Shabbat of the year, but it also marks the week where we recite the seventh and final Haftorah, known as the Shev D'Nechemta, the seven Haftorahs of consolation, primarily from the book of Isaiah. There's a very jarring passage from chapter 63 of Isaiah that we're going to read in the Haftorah this week. It starts off with the words, Mize Bane Edom Chamutz Bigadim Mibotzra. Who is this coming from Edom in crimsoned garments from Botzra, bloodied from his war of having smitten the Edomites? It's a very bizarre passage, but the prophet is referring to God, who is being personified in the verses as, in the end of days, smiting in a bloody war the enemy of the Jewish people known as Edom, and he's going to be coming from a place called Botzra, where that war is supposed to take place. This is supposed to, in some way, offer consolation to the Jewish people who have been the object of persecution of the Edomites for centuries, sometimes known as Rome in Talmudic literature. But the question is this really a consolating passage that our persecutors will be defeated by God in such a way that it'll be a bloody massacre of them? It's certainly possible that in previous generations where Jews were suffering horribly, that might be offered as words of consolation, but it certainly is jarring on the 21st century ears of the Jewish world. The Talmud in Tractate Makot goes even further and tells us that this is not a description of a physical war that will take place between God and the Edomite people, but rather it is a transcendent war that takes place in a completely spiritual plane where God will smite the angel known as Samael, who is the protective angel of the Edomite people. And the Talmud relates that this angel is going to make three errors in its war, its battle against God. First of all, this angel, in trying to escape retribution, is going to run to the wrong place. He's going to run to a place called Botzra, which sounds a lot like the word Betzer, which is the name of one of the cities of refuge, the Arei Miklat, where a murderer can run to seek refuge. The second mistake that the angel is going to make is that he's going to err in a halachic ruling, which is that a city of refuge only provides sanctuary for an accidental killer, but not for an intentional killer, which is what the angel of Samael stands for. And the third mistake that this angel Samael is going to make is that he will think that he can take sanctuary as an angel, when in reality, Arei Miklat, cities of refuge, only provide sanctuary for mortal human beings and not for angels. This is a very bizarre type of Agadic passage that we find in the Talmud. What are we supposed to make of it? Especially because this Talmudic interpretation of the passage from Isaiah is used as a very important zemer that is sung, especially in Hasidic communities, at Sudash Shlishit, at Shalosh Shudas, the last meal and the most emotionally and spiritually stirring meal of the Shabbos day. What is this all supposed to mean, and what are we supposed to draw from it? It's no coincidence that the angel that represents the persecutors of the Jewish people is called Samael. That comes from the word lisame, which is to blind. And the role of Samael, as we are described, as is described in the Talmud, is to blind the Jewish people to the realities of our situation, to present us with things of this world that we would normally, if we were in touch with our souls, we would recoil from those things because we know that they're not spiritually healthy. And the role of Samael is to try to make those very things that we should be recoiling from, to make them attractive. Things that are part of the physical world that any person who is concerned about their spiritual well-being would normally run away from, Samael tells us, no, go for it. They're attractive. You should try to take advantage of it. And Samael does this by trying to cause us to see things in a little bit of a blurry way. You know the old joke about a Jewish fellow and a Chinese fellow who are friends that are walking down the street one day. And all of a sudden, the Jewish man punches the Chinese man in the shoulder. And the Chinese man says, what was that for? And he said, that was for Pearl Harbor. He said, Pearl Harbor? That was the Japanese. I'm Chinese. So the Jew says, Chinese, Japanese, you're all the same. And they continue walking. And a few moments later, the Chinese fellow punches the Jew in the shoulder. And the Jew says, what was that for? He said, that was for the Titanic. He said, the Titanic? What do I have to do with that? That was because of an iceberg. He said, iceberg, Goldberg, you're all the same. The idea being is that we can sometimes make errors of judgment based upon the fact that we take off our glasses and squint at things from a distance. And things that are really not the way they should be sometimes appear to be the way they are. And that's the role of Samael. Samael plays such a good role in trying to get us not to see reality for what it is, that he sometimes deceives himself. And that's usually what happens to a person who is deceptive. They become so adept at deceiving others that sometimes the individual deceives himself as well. And that's why Samael, as described in the Talmud, is going to make so many mistakes of his own, thinking that he can save himself when in reality he has no salvation. And I think the reason for our reading this Haftorah at the very end of the year is because we're supposed to try and look back upon our lives and not try to deceive ourselves any further, not try to give in to the guile of Samael and his weaponry, but rather try and take a discerning and honest look back on who we are, look at ourselves in the mirror this one last time before we enter into the high holy days. I think especially one of the benefits of this pandemic of COVID has been that it's allowed us to refocus our priorities on what's really, truly important in life. So why don't we take that silver lining of this dark cloud of this pandemic and use it to help us try to discern things for what they are, not for what others would have them think they are. May you all have a good Gebencht Yor. And now we're going to recite the Tehillim. As Rabbi Herman mentioned, we'll start with Psalm 20, Kapitel Chaf. Mamnatzeach mizmor l'David, Yancha Adonai biyom tzara yisagev chashem Elohe Yaakov. Yishlach ezrocha mikodesh umitzion yisadekam, Yizkor kol minchosecha v'yolatzecha yidashen eselam, Yitein lecha chilvavecha v'chol atzasecha yimalei. Neranen avishua secha v'shem Eloheinu nidgol, Yimalei Adonai kol mishalo secham. Ata yadati ki Hoshia Adonai Mishicho, Ya'anehu Mishemei Kodsho, Bigburos Yesha Yimino. Eilev Arechev ve'eilev Asusim, Vanachnu v'shem Adonai Eloheinu Nazkir. Heima Karu v'nafalu v'nachnu kamnu v'nis Odad. Adonai Hoshia, Hamelech Ya'aneinu v'yom Kareinu. Psalm 23, Kapitel Chaf Kimmel. Mizmor le David, Adonai ro'i lo echzar, binos deshe yarbitzeini al mei menuchos yinah aleini. Nafshi yishovev yancheini v'magalei tzedek l'man shmo. Gam ki eleich b'gei tzalmaves lo ira ra ki ata imadi, shiftecha umishantecha heima yinachamuni. Taroch lefanai shulchaneget soriroi, dishanta v'ashemin roshi kosi revayam. Ach tov v'chesed yirdefuni kol yimei chayoi, v'shavti b'veis adunoi liorech yamin. Psalm 121, Kapitel Kuf Chaf Aleph. Shir la ma'alos, esoinai el hehorim em ha'ayin yabo ezri. Ezri me'im adonoi osei shamayim v'aretz. Al yitein lamot raglecha, al yonum shomerecha. Hinei lo yonum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. Adonoi shomerecha, adonoi tzilecha al yad yiminecha. Yomam ha'shemesh lo yakeka v'yareyach baloyba. Adonai yishmorecha mikol ro yishmores nafshecha. Adonai yishmore tzeisecha vo'echa me'ata ad olam. Kapitel Kuf Lamed, Psalm 130. Shir hama'alos mima'amakim kirasicha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli tihyena oznecha kashuvos l'kol tachanunoi. Im avonos tishmor ya. Adonai mi yamod, ki mecha selicha l'man tibarei. Ki visi Adonai ki besa nafshi v'lidvaro holcholti. Nafshi l'Adonai mi shomerim l'boker, shomerim l'boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai ha'chet beharbe imo fedus. V'hu yifte es Yisrael mikof sa. Omeka misha berach l'cholim. A prayer for those who are ill. During the pause, please insert the names of all those who need a refuah shalema. Misha berach avosena Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov Moshe Aaron David Shlomo, hu yivorech v'rapi es hacholim. Ba'avur shanachnu mispalolim ba'avuram, nischar zeh hakadosh baruch hu yimalei rachamim aleihem. L'hachlimam ul'raposam ul'hachazikam ul'hachiyosam. Yishlach lahem mehera refua shalema min hashamayim l'chol evarihem ul'chol gideihem b'sof shar chole Yisrael. Refua sanefesh or refua saguf. Hashta ba'agalo bizman karib ben omar amei. And finally we will say Achenu, Achenu kol beis Yisrael ha'nisunim b'tzarma b'shivya. Homdim bein bayom bein bayabasha hamakom yirachem aleihem v'yotzem mitzara lirabacha me'afela le'ora o'mishabud le'gula. Hashta ba'agalo bizman kariv v'nomar amin.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Korofkin. Briefly, before we begin our conversation, dearest callers, as promised, I'm thrilled to share with you that this coming Sunday, September 13th, at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time, immediately following our daily Tehillim call, the OU will be coordinating an incredible program titled, A Little Bit Goes a Long Way. A Little Bit Goes a Long Way, 10-minute talks from world-renowned speakers to prepare for the upcoming holiday of Rosh Hashanah. The speakers will include Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, Mrs. Lovie Youngrice-Wolf, Rabbi Judah Michelle, Mrs. Sivan Rav Meir, and Rabbi Dr. Tzvi Hirsch Weinreb. Each of their remarks will be 10 minutes long, and the entirety of the program, beginning at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time this upcoming Sunday, will be 1 hour long, beginning to end. More information, including how to access the program, will be shared tomorrow, but I am hopeful that each of you will join me for what promises to be a very rewarding, uplifting, and meaningful program. Rabbi Korofkin, as we transition into the next segment of our call, how are you, your family, and the community doing?
Baruch Hashem, we're just fine. Thank you. Canada has not been as heavily hit as the U.S., although I am an American and I have plenty of family in California. So we're all very, very hopeful that we're going to pull out of this as soon as possible.
Please, God, we certainly hope so. So to get us started, and it's hard to imagine a Jew who's not aware or doesn't know about the Bayit, but just in case, we have one listener, one caller on the program today who's not as familiar with your wonderful community. Would it be possible to please share with us a brief overview of the shul and the community in general?
We're in a suburb of Toronto called Thornhill, which is just a beautiful, beautiful suburban paradise, I guess, as long as you don't mind some of the cold weather in the winter. And it's just a lovely place to live, a lovely place to raise a family. We have all of the amenities that anyone could want in a Jewish community. And it's a self-contained community. And there are some wonderful other communities in Toronto, but Thornhill, I think, is the jewel in the crown. And the Bayit is sort of like the center shul. We have a number of Batei Knesset, a number of synagogues, but the largest and the central synagogue of the neighborhood is the Bayit with several hundred families. Before the pandemic, we would have typically 8 minyanim every Shabbos morning. And we're slowly, slowly digging our way back into the shul. Some of our minyanim are still outside. Some of our minyanim are inside. And we're slowly, slowly recoalescing as a community.
Wonderful. There's a lot of parallels between your wonderful shul and ours down here in Boca Raton, your dear chaver, colleague Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg. And in fact, yes, you mentioned Thornhill. I'm pretty sure here in Montoya Circle, there are a number of subdivisions of developments within Montoya Circle, which are called Thornhill Green, Thornhill Muse, Thornhill Village. And I'm pretty sure when I once asked someone the connection, they said that one of the original developers was from Thornhill, Canada. So right there, I believe you have a connection, as if there already are many, but between BRS and the Bayit.
Would not say. Rabbi
Korofkin, the world has changed dramatically as a result of the pandemic. You know, change is and will be everywhere. What communal changes, though, do you anticipate for yours, for your shul, for the Bayit, and really for the broader Jewish community as we look, near to Hashem, please God, soon, towards a world that will be post-COVID-19?
Well, it's an excellent question. I think that anyone who can authoritatively answer that question should be made the prime minister and president and emperor of the world, because it's such a the future is really so uncertain. But I will say this. First of all, you're probably all detecting it in your everyday life. There are some people who have found serenity and have been able to find inner peace amidst this pandemic, and people who have been able to realign their vision, like I spoke about before in the Devar Torah. There are other people who have had a much more difficult time with that, and there are tensions that are and nerves that are frayed. And one of the things that people are learning now in very difficult times is learning how to cope with stress and learning how to cope with the pressures of daily living amidst the disadvantages of living among COVID. There are a number of people who have suffered personal tragedies. There are a number of people who have lost work and lost income. And the Jewish communities have to work even harder in order to make our Jewish organizations more efficient and more cohesive and to make sure that we don't duplicate any efforts, because we can't afford to anymore as the Jewish world. Another thing that's changed for those who have been able to realign their sites is that the way that we hold certain social gatherings will forever, I think, have changed, and in many ways for the better. We just made a wedding for our son in a backyard, and if someone would have told me a year ago, your son's going to get married, but because of circumstances beyond your control, you'll only be able to have a few guests in a backyard of someone's house, I would have probably expressed disappointment. But in reality, I had no disappointment whatsoever. It was a beautiful wedding. People watched using the technology of video conferencing, and it was beautiful. It was really, really beautiful. And I think that for a lot of members of our community, this kind of realignment is actually a welcome new phenomenon. We perhaps have gone in the past a little bit overboard in our indulgences and simchas and in kiddushes and things like that. And coming back to shul without food, coming back to shul without the lavish smachot, actually I think for some people is a very, very positive thing. And that's even before we get into a discussion of how Jewish education, as well as education in general, has, I think, changed permanently with a lot of blended learning, where a lot of our youth are going to learn how to learn Torah even, using video conferencing and new innovative technologies. And so not all is bad. I think there's a lot of good that has come out of this pandemic. And certainly I think it's all of our responsibility to do to the best of our ability to try and see all of the blessings that have been latent within this dark cloud that has rested upon all of mankind these past 6 months.
I would agree. And we wish you a mazel tov on the simcha. It's really, truly wonderful. And just a comment on your point prior. I think on both the micro and the macro level, shul level, communal level, but also on a national and international level, wearing your other hat with the RCA and national organizations, working together cohesively in order to be more impactful as we look at these changing times in our communities and how to work together to really serve the communities as best as we can. Last question for you. Tomorrow, the week, is Erev Rosh Hashanah, a shul of your magnitude and size, and mentioned before, eight minyanim, in normal times. What are the plans as of now, as much as we can plan forward and in certain times? Would there be minyanim indoors and outdoors, shofar blowing? And what about those for whatever legitimate reason can't make it to shul? Is there a plan in place that at least that they can hear shofar this year?
Sure, sure. Well, first of all, you know, it's funny, right before I got on this call, I was speaking to a member of our shul who had just verbally accosted someone in our office because he couldn't get the seat that he was hoping to get in one of our services. And it's just an example of how sometimes, and as I pointed out to the office and trying them to help understand this individual, I said to one of the office staff, I said, you know, people's nerves are very, very shot right now, and we have to try and have compassion upon this person. Who knows what they're going through in their personal life right now? And not that doesn't excuse that person's behavior, but it certainly is a reflection of the fact that many people are quite tense. On the other hand, I would say the vast majority of people are very, very understanding and really do appreciate all of the efforts that our shuls are doing now to try our best to accommodate every single member. We made a commitment to our members that no person will be turned away. We will find room, no matter how restrictive the governmental rules are upon us, but we will figure it out. So we're actually having seven different venues, both two venues outside and five venues inside for davening over Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And we're trying to accommodate everyone's requests. And we're almost there. Just a few more pieces that have to fit into the puzzle, and we will, God willing, be able to accommodate everyone. There are many people who simply are not yet comfortable coming back to shul, even if it's in an outside service. And so for those people, we're in the process of publishing a guide with the help of the RCA to give them guidance as far as what they should say and what they can skip. And as well, for Tikiyat Shofar, for shofar blowing, we've created an exchange where people can see where is there a shofar blowing closest to my home. And then also we'll have an afternoon shofar blowing in the neighborhood. And as well, we'll create, in part of that exchange that we've created, is to create shiduchim, to create partnerships where someone who's able to blow will know where to go if someone is not able to get out of their house and have shofar blown for them. So, God willing, every person in the community will be serviced properly. It's not easy, but that's the job that we have at hand, and God willing, it'll all get done.
Unbelievable. What a plan the shul and the community has in place, and we've shared it on these calls. Besides the obvious in terms of our medical personnel and healthcare personnel, and others who are on the front line, COVID-19, especially Yasher Koach, really goes out to rabbinic and leadership who more than ever have worked around the clock to do everything possible to accommodate them to be there for their communities, no exception for the Bayit in Toronto. And I do imagine that the outdoor minyanim in Toronto at this time of the year will be better and more comfortable than the outdoor minyanim in Boca Raton.
Yeah, you even have to, you have to bring a coat. Yeah.
Absolutely. Rabbi Karapkin, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a picture of your wonderful community, one that I've had the privilege to visit in the past, and I look forward to doing so again in the future. As they are with all of Klal Yisrael and of the entire world, our thoughts and our tefillos, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and a refuah for all of those in need will be answered l'tova. May the Rabboni Sha'olam, the Master of the World, speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Friday, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, for Words of Inspiration from Rabbi Yitzchak Oras of the Monmouth Torah Links in Marlborough, New Jersey. This concludes today's call. I think it's Marble. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.